This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
You're listening to Geek Cred, episode number 24. Hey everybody, I'm Steve Rickyberg, and welcome to, or welcome back, to Geek Cred. Geek Cred is the show that gives you the inside scoop on everything geek, from tech to sci-fi to games. Be sure to check out the main website over at www.geekcred.net, and if you want to get in contact with me, email geekcred@geekcred.net. So hey you guys, how you doing? I really want to apologize for the kind of crazy release dates I've had as of late. So here's the deal. As you probably know, I'm a college student, and classes just started back up for me in full gear last week, and I've got a full plate this semester. Now, before I go further, don't freak out. Geek Cred is not going on hiatus. I love doing the show too much to let that happen. But anyway, as much as I do really want to release the show on a regular bi-weekly schedule, I just don't see that quite happening for a while. New episodes might be released on varying days during the week, but I still plan on having new shows for you every other week, but give or take a couple of days, maybe. Thanks for your patience and for your support. So anyway, enough jibber-jabber from me, let's get right into trivia. Last episode's trivia question was, what other famous science fiction starship forced a last-minute redesign to Star Wars' Millennium Falcon? Now the correct answer to that would be the Eagle Shuttle, used by the Moonbase Alpha crew in the British science fiction television series Space 1999. This was correctly answered by IRC chatroom regular Chris. You, my friend, have some geek cred. Now this episode's trivia question is, what was the original use of Intel's 8080 microprocessor? What was the original use of Intel's 8080 microprocessor? Think you know the answer? Email geekcred@geekcred.net. Let's see just how much geek cred you've really got. Or, think my trivia questions suck? Can't say I blame you, I guess. But hey, if you've got some better trivia questions, send them in. I'm always on the lookout for some great trivia questions. Well, now that we've got that out of the way, let's move right into our featured interview. I am pleased to welcome David Ocampo and Jeremy Rogers from Wormwood. How you doing, guys?
We're good. Thanks for having us on, Steve.
So tell me a little bit about yourselves briefly. Who are you guys? David, why don't you go first?
Okay. Well, I don't know. What do you want to know? What do people want to know about me? I make Wormwood. That's all you care about. My day job is I do marketing for a technical consulting firm, and I also with Jeremy have a production company called Habit Forming Films. We starting in about 1999, Jeremy and I started writing scripts together. In about 2004, 2005, we shot our first short film together, which we entered into film festivals and won some awards. We've done three short films now, and in the between films two and three, we launched an audio venture, which you know today as Wormwood, A Serialized Mystery.
That's right. Me. And Jeremy?
Let's see. I work in a cubicle during the day and try to do as much writing there as possible. Like Dave said, we started the production company Habit Forming Films in 2005, I think. And we've been doing the whole independent short film thing for a while and decided to really start writing the audio series 2006, I think is what it was.
Probably, 2006. I think that sounds about right.
So, I'm trying to think, what else?
I don't know. We like to go to Comic-Con.
Comic-Con is good.
How did you spend your summer vacation? That's about it, really. We've been putting Wormwood together and falling behind badly. But now we're back on track, and here we are talking to you.
So you guys seem to be real creative partners. How did you two guys meet and get hooked up and doing all this stuff together?
Jeremy, you want to take that one?
Sure. We used to work together at a .com back in, I think, 98 is when it started.
Yeah, 98 is when I started and there.
We worked a graveyard shift together. It was like 7 p.m. to 8 a.m.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was long shift. But, you know, during the hours of the night, you know, we'd get to talking and, you know, talking about movies, books, you know, other anything and everything. And gradually we just started collaborating together on, I think the first one was, yeah, the first one was Bad Habits, actually, wasn't it?
We traded a feature script for Bad Habits. The way that worked is that, you know, I had never written a script before. And so Jeremy would be talking about scripts that he had written. And I was an English major and did short stories and, you know, attempts at novels and things like that. And I now was down in L.A. And we had lots of hours to kill at this.com graveyard shift. And so, you know, he would be talking to me about that. And I was interested in doing something like that, but I had never really written in a script format. And so, you know, I just without kind of formatting aside, I was driving home from the graveyard shift one morning, listening to NPR, and there was a story on there that sounded really fascinating to me, and it seemed like a great starting point for a movie or for just anyone's story, really. And so I wrote 5 pages based exactly on that. It was a kid who had been in and out of juvie all his life, and he was doing an audio diary, and it was he was talking to his social worker, who was basically saying, like, look, you're 18 now. If you screw up again, you're going to go to prison. So, you know, it's no more juvenile detention, anything like that. So you are now at this crossroads, you know, that you either clean up your act or go to prison. And this is a kid who all he has ever known is this life on the streets or in and out of juvie and stuff like that. And so I thought, wow, that's a great place to put your character to start. And so I wrote 5 pages, and Jeremy kind of shocked me by writing 5 pages back that actually veered off and told the story of the social worker. So then, of course, I had to up that by telling the story of the social worker's wife. And so we ended up – we continued like sending pages back and forth. And just building this world. And then before we knew it, we had this ensemble drama that had a sprawling 150-page script at some point, I think. I don't know. Was
something
that it?
Like that. Something it was, like yeah, that. It was 150-plus pages done in like 4 weeks. The first draft came out very quickly.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was the first time. And so ever since then, we've been collaborating. I mean, it started with that, and then that ended up being the first short film that we made. We boiled that down into a 20-page script or 25-page script, and then we shot that as our first short film. So that was kind of the beginning of our collaboration and also the beginning of our production company. So it was kind of interesting. But we've written a number of scripts together aside from that. And then obviously Wormwood is our biggest, probably our biggest effort.
Wow, so some guys might have been screwing around playing Flash games or something, but you guys were actually being creative and doing something cool.
Oh, well, we did that too.
Yeah, we did that too. did we say they were long shifts? It was this sort of dot-com era where it was like, everyone needs to work 80 hours a week and we'll give you stock options for it. And, of course, worthless stock options. But, you know, we put in long hours. And so, we'd spend some time playing. We had Quake on all the computers at one point, and we would play it in the middle of the night. But then there would be other times where, you know, Jeremy and I were left to our own devices, and we'd sit there and just be chatting while microwaving burritos at 3 a.m., you know, about what we could do, and that came out of it. So, you know, 8, 9, 10 years later, I guess, here we are.
Yeah, well, it's good that something good came out of all those long hours.
Yeah, exactly. It's about the only thing.
So you talked about Bad Habits. How did you get from Bad Habits to what you're doing now, Wormwood?
All right.
Bad Habits was kind of the one anomaly in everything that we do. I mean, it's really the straight drama that we don't play a lot with. I mean, we're both really big into the whole genre stuff, and so it was just a matter of time, really, I think, until we rolled around to really starting to play with some of our bigger influences.
Which are horror movies and detective exactly. stories, horror stories, things like that. And, you know, the direct link between film to audio was that, you know, Jeremy and I think I'm the one that expressed it first, we just get exasperated by the amount of time it takes and care it takes to light a set for what ultimately ends up being 10 seconds of film sometimes. You know, you light it for 3 hours and then it's like, okay, now run down the hall. Okay, and cut. All right, we're moving on to the next scene. And then that's 10 seconds of the film, and you spent hours and hours. And, you know, Jeremy and I, while we were at this.com, we would listen to – I would find old radio serials and listen to them. And so we weren't connecting these dots yet, but we were just sort of like, oh, this is fun. It's something to do at, you know, 4 a.m. when, you know, there's nothing else to listen to, and there's no radio shows, and Howard Stern doesn't come on until, you know, for a few more hours or whatever it was. You know, and so I was finding, like, The Shadow and Inner Sanctum and things like that. And so – then fast forward to me sitting on the set waiting for 3 hours for them to light the set, light that hallway perfectly, listening to podcasts on my iPod. And somewhere along the line, I went, well, you know what? You know, you've got the distribution mechanism right here, you know, the web and podcasting, iTunes, you know, is a new way to bring audio drama to people. And if we just had a couple microphones and a computer and some actors, so we don't have to worry about the lighting, we don't have to worry about the transferring the, you know, DV tape to the computers or the, you know, HD cards or whatever, you know, whatever we're doing this time, the P2 cards. We don't have to do all that stuff. Oh, my God, that's awesome.
And you we're know, not limited by budget either, you know.
Yeah, and that, you know, we were making movies that were like 30 minutes long, right? Well, now we've done a sprawling epic saga that is that had 24, you know, roughly 25-minute episodes in the first season, and now we're on our second 24. And, gosh, that's, you know, we can tell a really epic story that we could never tell with our little short films.
Mm-hmm. So with this rich world you've put together with Wormwood, what was the inspiration behind all of this?
Well, you know, again, so the impetus for creating the show was that exasperation that we were feeling. And then within that, now that we're in the audio realm, we can kind of do anything we want. You know, the budgets, I mean, the sets are all in the imagination, so the budget's really kind of unlimited. So it was a chance for Jeremy and I to finally be unshackled and go after all the weird, you know, things that we like. So I always love stuff. I always like horror movies, but I specifically love, you know, sort of the spooky, creepy, occult mystery type of things or creepier movies, you know, Rosemary's Baby, The Exorcist, The Ninth Gate, you know, Angel Heart, things like that, you know, and I love mysteries. I love hard-boiled, like, detective fiction, and I love Sherlock Holmes, things like that. So it was kind of like, I want to create something in that realm. I want to do something where we've got a guy and he's an occult detective and, you know, really just embrace the genre that we hadn't really been able to do yet. And so Jeremy has a lot of the same influences, and so he was right on top of that, you know, jamming with me on that, like, oh, and we can do this and we can do that. And so that's really how it started.
How long did development of that idea take?
It I don't think it took that long. Normally when we get something in mind and we really start to work it out, once it clicks, it seems to happen quickly. I think we might have started talking about it maybe, I'm guessing, 6 months or so before the scripts were coming together.
But there was a delay, because remember we brought on our first extra writer, Jeremiah, and then we were tossing ideas back and forth, and that went on, and then it dropped off for a little while we readied other things.
We dropped off for the short.
Yeah, and then we kind of geared back up again. So I want to say it maybe was a little bit longer than that, because I want to say we maybe first started talking about it in maybe you're right. Maybe it was like October.
I think we started talking about it around the time the Long Road was getting
so
out of post.
What was that, September, October?
That was around October.
October of what, 2006 maybe?
Of 2006.
And then maybe shot... the casting call. The first recording session was in June or July. It was July. Yeah, so October to July. So, okay. Yeah, I mean, but there was – I think it might have even had its roots a little earlier than that. I'm not entirely sure. But, yeah, that gives you a rough timeline of if we started putting together stuff at that point and then we actually did the first recording session in early July of 2007.
It seems like that you guys have really moved quickly with that then.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it, bringing other writers in obviously helps get stuff faster. But when Jeremy and I, you know, when we start rolling with the idea, this stuff comes very fast. Mm-hmm. And so really what happened was he and I wrote, sort of sketched out a series Bible loosely. And then we started writing the first two episodes. And then we started casting out and finding other writers. And we found Jeremiah. And he was kind of our first writer. And so the three of us were sort of writing. And Jeremy and I were kind of guiding it, and then he was, you know, throwing in his two cents, and we had a lot of debates going back and forth about, you know, what character should be what, and, you know, who's in love with who, and this kind of thing. And he took an early liking to Rachel and Jacob's story, and he really, you know, fought over that one and fought passionately for certain things on that. But we sort of all gelled, and we came to the conclusion, started agreeing, and then we had our first writer's meeting, and it was the three of us over Skype, and we hashed out the first eight, and then from there – We added our second writer, Rob Alsboff, after that writer's meeting, and he actually just took over and wrote episode 6 because we were all a little bit too swamped to cover it. And so he came in and did his episode based on all the notes that we had created. And so, yeah, once we started doing that, it started happening pretty fast. And then the casting call really did go fast. I'd say we started it in maybe May, and then we shot in – or shot. Still thinking like a filmmaker. We recorded in early July. So the casting process went pretty quickly.
We were casting right around the time we were shooting The Hollywood Informant. So, May.
Yeah, The Hollywood Informant is our third short film that we did, which is a black and white film noir.
So you weren't even done with your last project before you started working on the next one.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no. Well, we should say that the Hollywood Informant was one we were only directing on. So we didn't write it. We kind of produced it and directed it with other people's story and script. And so it's one of those things where there were places where we didn't have anything to do with it. They were developing the story and everything. So Jeremy and I were, of course, brainstorming and working on Wormwood during that time.
So for those who haven't heard Wormwood, they're like, what is this all about? What is Wormwood in a nutshell? Give me the pitch, if you will.
All right. Wormwood is a serialized occult mystery. It follows a former psychologist named Dr. Xander Crow, who is now become sort of an occult detective. The series begins where he's run into a little bit of trouble with the mob after an exorcism gone bad, but he starts having this vision of a drowned woman, and she says the word wormwood, and he figures out through the help of his assistant Sparrow that there's a town in California called Wormwood, and so he decides to go and check it out, which maybe is partially because he's running from the mob also, and it seems like a good place to hide out. But once he gets there, he finds out that there's no dead woman, and that is the thrust of the mystery for season one.
Hello everyone, this is Craig from Technorama. You know, the Star Trek Experience located at Las Vegas Hilton is an immersive experience that takes you into the 24th century. September 1st marks the end of the 10-year run of the Star Trek Experience, but fret not, we are taking you where no listener has gone before. September 2nd, we released part 1 of a 2-part audio tour behind the scenes of the Star Trek Experience. We will explain the history of the experience and how it all works. So join us September 2nd at chuckchat.com/technorama and watch for our behind the scenes audio tour and upcoming video. Don't forget, this is a 2-parter, and video will follow soon.
Of the Star Trek Experience, I can only say this. Of all the attractions I have encountered in my travels, this was the most awesome.
Geek Cred is powered by DreamHost. With DreamHost, get an insane 500 gigabytes of storage, 5 terabytes of transfer, one-click installs of popular software, and more. Plus, a 97-day money-back guarantee, all for as low as $5.95 a month. Plus, use promo code GEEKCRED when you sign up to get a whopping $50 off a year or more of hosting. Get a huge discount on some great hosting and help support GeekCred. It's just a win-win situation for everyone. Make your internet dreams come true with DreamHost.
I'm Veronica Belmont from Techzilla Core and the Sword and Laser podcast, and you are listening to GeekCred.net.
So what is the inspiration behind this city of Wormwood?
Okay, well, Wormwood is loosely based on a town that I grew up in, and it was nothing more really than I love shows like Twin Peaks. Northern Exposure would be another one that really captured that quirky small town feel, and that seemed like a great setting. I always wanted to do something within that setting, and so I kind of took the town that I grew up in, and I sort of occultized it. I horrorized it, you know, for lack of a better word. I sort of added sort of creepy undertones to it, and then I sort of pitched that out as the town. And then the other writers since then have sort of helped develop it in different ways, unexpected ways. But the original creation was I wanted to create something kind of like a Twin Peaks type town. And I kind of used my own town as a template for it.
Where do you guys find inspiration for Wormwood when you're writing?
Jeremy?
Wow, that's...
I cast spells. not really. But
you know, honestly, we're so deep into the series now that we've got so much content always, you know, that we're kind of picking and choosing from, it seems, what we want to do with the episodes. But I don't know. I mean, originally, thinking back, just looking at, you know, some of the, like, the old Lovecraft stuff, the really old dark horror stuff, has always been good. But as we've written the series, the characters have been providing so much.
We love, like, as I mentioned before, all these sort of horror movies and things like that. And really, I wanted to create sort of this detective-type character. You know, sort of like, I like the way shows like House on TV. You've got this great protagonist. He's sort of a detective in his own way. It's really a mystery show. He's just not your classic detective. And I've loved things like, you know, things like Hellboy, Mike Mignola's Hellboy comics and things like that. So I wanted to create some kind of, like, character that was really recognizable and iconic, like in a way that we had never done before. And so that was my chance. And so a lot of the early stuff came from that, came from drawing inspirations from, like, quirky small town things like Twin Peaks, and then meshing that with the occult detective kind of, you know, character, and then just really mashing those things together and seeing where it goes. And then Jeremy's right, from there, I don't know that we draw inspiration from anything outside of the series at this point.
It really does take on a life of its own.
Maybe maybe things like I would say Buffy the Vampire Slayer was another early inspiration, and that's something that I continue to think back on. I love the way that you could have seasons that haven't had an overarching theme, an overarching subplot, a big bad that Buffy would face at the end. But in the meantime, there were individualized episodes that kind of built towards it, or that told different stories within that. And so that's something that I've thought about a lot in season two, is how he did that. Shows like Lost and the way they play with revealing the larger plot through the characters, through different periods of time, has come into play a little bit in the series now. So, you know, I mean, really, it is a distillation of everything that we've ever liked. And so if there's a show we like on TV now, we probably find some way that it factors in. But, you know, it's all over the place. It's just whatever influences we have. But now, Jeremy's right. A lot of it just comes from the voices of the characters.
So take me through the process you go to of producing the show from, you know, concept for an episode to final completion.
Okay, well, the first step is that we... Oh, it's hard to say now because it's always in motion. But we have sort of a map, a blueprint for season two. And we know roughly where we want it to begin and end. And we discuss this with all the writers and everything. But it's really loose. You know, we know where it begins and ends. But there's a lot of meat that still has to be filled in. So then we get on with the writers. And we have a writer's room meeting where we take the first 8 episodes. There's 24 in a season. So we have 3 writer's meetings. And we tackle 8 each time. We take the first 8 episodes and we block them out. And then we assign them to the different writers. What's funny is that it's so in motion now that the last writers' meeting we had, we already knew what all the stories were going to be. And it was more about, okay, Tiffany, you have an episode that you want to do. And so now just pitch it to us so we can hear the beats in the story. And we can see if it makes sense in the larger scheme and see if it fits into the overall plot that we're aiming towards. And so, you know... there's so much already going that the writer's meeting changed in their nature. But that said, what we do is, yeah, we go in, we assign it, we break down the first 8, then we assign them to the writers. The writers go out and write them. They all come back to Jeremy and I. Jeremy and I edit everything and make sure that it all maintains that Wormwood voice. So we'll rewrite certain things, or we'll find, like, plot holes or links, or, you know, links to episodes that we can throw in and things like that. So we'll just make sure that they're all tidied up and that they're all ready to go. And then from there, we'll send them out to the actors. Then we will get together on a Saturday at a house in the San Fernando Valley, and we basically get all the actors in, and we read through all 8 episodes in one day and record them. Phew. Then from there, Jeremy and I split up the episodes, and we go back, and we take turns editing them, and hopefully put them out every week until we hit a delay that causes us to go on hiatus. Right? Am I missing anything, Jeremy?
No, that's about it. It's, you know, every recording session is about 8 hours long. Editing every episode, it ranges from, you know, relatively short amount of time to sometimes they could take the full week to get cut together. It's a steady process.
Yeah.
It's definitely a labor of love, it seems like.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, we're not making money off of it. It's just something we just love telling stories like this, and this is a great way to get it out there. I mean, we're at a point now where, you know, if you have a show, you can make the show and get it on iTunes and get people to listen to it. And yeah, there's a lot of noise out there on the web, but you know, people that want to find it seem to be finding it, and it's really cool. So, you know, we have an audience.
You mentioned the audience. How has that fan response been from when you initially premiered the show?
You know, it's been really good. I mean, I think we initially launched it and just sort of friends that we had online or different places, and it's like, hey guys, here it is, listen to this. And then people would listen to it and comments would trickle in, and it was really kind of cool. And then there was a point where people that we didn't know were leaving comments in iTunes, you know, and it's sort of like the first time that I didn't recognize somebody's email address because they were a colleague or friend or whatever that had listened to it or whatever. You know, the first time I didn't see somebody in the comments section or whatever that I didn't know, I was so thrilled. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And then I think it was the first person that I noticed was Fred Greenhall, who has the show Radio Drama Revival. He actually reviewed our show, and I just found it by Googling it, or I think maybe it was an incoming link that I found through our blog site, and I was like, wow, somebody reviewed our show, and we have no idea who this guy is, and oh my God, this is so cool. And that really fuels us. I mean, to be able to come back to the writers and the actors and say, hey, look, somebody reviewed us, and they liked us. You know, to the point now where we have forums where people like are there going like, oh, I love that episode. Oh yeah, more and more. You know, it really keeps us going.
Mm-hmm. What is the most challenging part of doing Wormwood?
Getting 16 actors together on a weekend.
I don't envy you that task, that's for sure.
Yeah, something that we do different than a lot of people is we do try to get the entire cast together. And we try to break it down so that people can come and go and have different call times and things like that. And they don't have to stay there the entire 8 hours if they're only in like 3 episodes. But the aim is to try and do it organically, to try and get the actors to be able to interact with each other, because I think that's so much better. That said, it doesn't always work. In the last season, we've had, you know, a number of times where people have had to record separately, and we do our best to kind of smooth it out and make it sound as good as it can. And I will say, as a credit to our actors, is they all own these characters at this point. They know exactly what is needed of them, and they know how the characters sound, and the actors know how the other actors are going to sound. So I've had a number of people record separately, and it sounds great. I mean, you don't know the difference, really, when we're done with it. And that's really, to me, that's a testament of the actors just kind of being professional about it and knowing how to play, even when they're not, you know, speaking with somebody directly.
So you mentioned you have the story mapped out through season 2. Where does Wormwood go from here? How far is this story going to go?
We have the story mapped out through season 3. And, you know, as I've mentioned, we mentioned it here and there, but we kind of look at it a little bit like a trilogy. So season 1 was the mystery that it sort of opens up the whole universe. Season 2 is sort of expanding on that universe. It's sort of digging in. Here are all the details. Here's this larger mythology that we've created. And then season 3 brings everything into a big explosive climax. With that said, not really sure if – does that mean that Wormwood as a universe, so to speak, as a world, is over with season 3? I can't say that for sure because, you know, a lot of the writers have expressed interest in telling tales of Wormwood from times past, continuing on tales of Wormwood, Xander, Crow, and Sparrow spinning off into separate adventures. I mean, it's an end to the story that we mapped out, but it is not necessarily an end to the world.
So can you give people a little bit of a sneak peek, a little teaser of what they can expect when Wormwood returns from hiatus?
Yeah, Jeremy, you want to tee that one up?
What's the next one back? Episode 9?
Episode 9.
Yeah, well, the next batch, reunite, I don't really know what to say without giving anything away. some things happen, some people are reunited, some things change.
Someone dies.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, exactly. Someone does die. And there's an exorcism coming up, or an attempted exorcism. But also, we're building towards plot lines that have been separate all throughout season 2 coming together in a big way, in a big, big way. So around episode 16, I would say we're going to see I can't call it a reunion, but it's characters coming together in a conflagration that have never come together in that way before. So you're going to, there's some interesting stuff coming up. Basically, we, you know, as I mentioned, we, the first part of the season has all been sort of compartmentalized, trying to be very episodic. But we're getting to a point where we're ramping up towards the season finale, and you're going to see a lot of things coming to a head, and you're going to see a lot of storylines colliding with each other. So there's some big excitement coming.
We enter into a slightly darker vibe with the next set of episodes coming out too. It's not that it doesn't have its humor, but we're definitely, you know, in the dark territory here. So
yeah, it's building towards the finale again. So you know, if people have been a little put off, and so far the response has been great, but if people have been a little put off by the more episodic nature this time, you're going to start getting more of the Wormwood season one feel as we head further down, as we get into episode 16 and on in a little bit. But coming up, we've got a few more. We return to the Ghost Hunters of Wormwood in one episode. We've got the continuing adventures of Rachel and Jacob. We have a special episode with Sister George and Pete Menno, as I mentioned earlier. And more with Xander in the house.
We have stuff happen in this new batch that nothing like it has happened before so far in the show.
That is true.
Very, very exciting. So say someone has an idea for their own show or their own concept for their own project. Do you have any tips for them for writing?
In terms of writing, I mean, it depends. If you're going to do a long form story like ours, you know, we created a series Bible first, and we really sort of, you know, figured out, we kind of created a blueprint of where we wanted to go. And then we just really tried to create very memorable characters. And then from there, we started letting the characters talk and let them. And so plan it out well. I mean, put the work in ahead of time. And I think that shows, especially in our case where we had a mystery and you people are looking for, you know, things to not make sense there. And so you've got to really keep things, keep your ducks in a row, so to speak. So yeah, I mean, it really depends. If you're doing something more short form, an anthology thing, I think you've got a little more leeway with that. But if you really want to go for that long form, and I think there's a great payoff in the long form, in that you can really build characters' relationships over time. You can kind of find characters organically, see where they go. You can surprise yourself, and that's great. But yeah, definitely be prepared to put the time and effort in to really map it out, and then give yourself the freedom to let the characters take you where they want to go, because that can always be really exciting.
Yeah.
That's been one of the greatest things about this, you know, coming from the film background, to be able to spend the time and grow a story over such a long period. It's great. I mean, it's completely different, but there's just really something really nice about just spending the time with week after week, you know.
And the long form gives you a chance to do all sorts of weird things. When we were plotting out season one, I never had an inkling that there would be a voodoo hitman in season two. But you know, that's been a lot of fun. So you know.
Well, David, Jeremy, thanks so much for taking some time out to come on the show and talk about Wormwood and all the cool stuff you're doing. So where can people go to find out about Wormwood and everything you guys are doing?
Well, you can go to wormwoodshow.com. That's all one word, no hyphens or anything like that, just wormwoodshow.com. And that's got all the good stuff. I mean, it's got all the episodes. It's got a list of the characters. It's got information about the cast and the writers, things like that. If you have an iPod or use iTunes, you can go to iTunes Store and just search Wormwood, and you'll see us in the podcast section. And most of the other podcast podcatchers, you know, I think we're in most of those. So, you know, any of the normal places, just search for Wormwood and you get it. But yeah, wormwoodshow.com also has additional fiction, prose fiction. It also has a link to forums where sometimes the writers and even some of the actors hang out. So there's some good discussions that happen there. Yeah, so that's the best place to be.
All right. Thank you guys so much. Everybody, be sure to go and check out Wormwood. They got some good stuff happening there. All right. Hope you enjoyed listening to that interview just as much as I did recording it. But if you've got any questions, comments, feedback, whatever, I really want to hear it, guys. I really live on your feedback. So email geekcred@geekcred.net with your text or audio comments, or leave a comment on the website at www.geekcred.net. We've also got a great IRC community. Just listening to the show is only half of the experience. So if you've got your own IRC client, point it to irc.finstack.net and join pound GeekCred. Or head over to geekcred.net/chat, and we have a great little Ajax web-based chat. It even works on mobile devices like the iPhone. Pretty sweet if you ask me. Remember, GeekCred is listener-supported. It's your donations that help allow me to bring the show to you for free. So if you're feeling generous and you've got a few bucks to spare, please consider donating. If you're downloading the show manually from the website, please consider subscribing and get the show delivered to you automatically for free using iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. If you're using iTunes while you're there, I'd really appreciate it if you'd show a little love for Geek Crud by writing a review or supporting us at other popular podcasting sites. Geek Crud is a proud member of Friends in Tech. To find out more, visit www.friendsintech.com. Well, that's it for me, everybody. Thanks for listening, and until next time, geek on!
We're going to find some other variation on this story, Jeremy.
I was stripping.
Yeah, let's do the Diablo Cody story.
There you go.